Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Miracles 4 workshop, Balance. My name is Don, and I am an addict. Can we open the meeting with a moment of silence for the addict who still suffers? Serenity prayer. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you. Would someone like to start the readings with, why are we here?
Why are we here? Because we're not all there. Before coming to the fellowship of NA, we cannot manage our own life. We cannot live and enjoy life as other people do. We have to have something different than we thought we had found in the drug. We place the youth of heaven the welfare of our families, our wives, husbands, and our children. We have to have drugs at all costs. We give many people great harms, but most of all, we harm ourselves. Through our inability to accept personal responsibilities, we were actually creating our own problems. We seem to be incapable of facing life on its own terms. Most of us realized that in our addictions, we were slowly committing suicide. But addiction is such a cunning enemy of life that we had lost the power to do anything about it. Many of us ended up in jail or sought help through medicine, religions, and psychiatry. None of these methods was sufficient for us. Our disease always resurfaced and continued to progress until, in desperation, we sought help from each other in Narcotics Anonymous. After coming to NA, we realized we were sick people. We suffer from a disease from which there is no known cure. It can, however, be arrested at some point and recovery is then possible.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As I said, my name is Don. I'm an addict. Topic is balance. I know when Dan asked me if I'd speak, my first reaction was no. Then I thought, what do I know about balance? I mean, I just put in 55 hours at work last week, so apparently I'm not a very balanced person. Then I thought about it, and I thought, well, it's a workshop. Maybe I can learn something. I started out, I guess, by Googling balance, you know. I always thought it's good to know the meaning of a word, and the word that caught my eye was equilibrium. But it's not that easy. To me, equilibrium means, everything's equal around you. And as I thought about it, that's not how I can maintain my balance. To me, my balance is, I picture myself as being on a tightrope, you know, and I've got the demands of my recovery on one side and the demands of my work and my family and all my other on the other side. And, you know, I have to stay on the tightrope without falling off. Equilibrium, in my mind, thinks, okay, then I can just take the demands of my family, my work, myself on one side and on the other side, you know, my recovery. And everything gets equal parts. So I thought about, okay, so I take recovery and I give 25% of my time to that, 25% to work, 25% to my family, whatever. That's not the way it works. It didn't work for me. Obviously someone's going to be disappointed. Because the parts that make my, that give me balance don't all weigh the same, you know. At the heart is my recovery, because if I don't give that the focus it needs, I don't have anything else, you know. And I tend to be I get too focused on what I'm doing, you know. I've always got this, I've got to get this done, I got to get that done, I got to get that done. So I get focused on what I'm doing. And I was looking at my last week at work. did I really need to put that many hours in and get that much, you know, done in a day? Or should I have given more to my family? You know, the problem is that I get laser focused. You know, I'm compulsive when I'm doing things. I want to do them until they're done. And in the end, what I find out is that I'm tired and I'm cranky and my life isn't in balance. So balance, as much as it sounds like this state of equilibrium, is really hard work and a lot of action for me. And balance isn't a constant state. It's something I'm fighting. I lose my balance, I get back in balance. You know, I have to go to meetings, I have to call another addict, I have to turn it over to my higher power, and I do that a lot, you know, throughout the day. Lately, you know, I've been in recovery for quite a few years, and honestly, I haven't, you know, I spent 10 years without a sponsor, going to one meeting a week, not doing any homework, aka the steps, and lo and behold, I was slipping into all those addict behaviors that I had before. You know, I still went to meetings. I didn't pick up. That's not my issue, picking up. I know I can't, you know. But it's all the other symptoms of my addiction that I have to keep in check. And that's where the balance part comes in. So I've done things that I haven't done in a while. I got a sponsor. I started working the steps again. I started working the steps with my sponsor. I've improved my contact with my higher power, and I'm learning, you know. I feel more balanced now, and to me, balance, when my life is in balance, that's serenity. You know, I feel that serenity. I'm not so judgmental around the people in my lives. I find myself having to turn things over a lot more. You know, part of the challenge that I have right now is I'm a very impatient person. I always have been. And my wife has developed some cognitive issues, you know, where I can literally tell her something and 5 minutes later, she will have no clue of it, you know. And it gets very frustrating to me. And that's part of what pushed me on the journey, I guess, is that I had to learn that it wasn't her, you know, it wasn't anything else, and I needed to give her the attention that she deserves, you know. And the only way I was going to do that is to get my life in balance and add more weight to the side that's my recovery and the spiritual principles. As a result, I've learned to stop, you know, to react. I don't say, well, I just told you that 5 minutes ago, you know. I just repeat it and move on like it's never been said before. It's given me a new appreciation to the things that I need to do. Work, yes, I work a lot, but I work from home and my wife is home. So I still can give her the attention during the day. But getting back to what I said before, it's the balance, the weight of what's important to me that I need to balance, that I need to keep me in balance has changed. And it's constantly shifting, you know. Just like my recovery, what I did 20 years ago wouldn't be enough to keep me straight today, you know. I need to focus where, you know, when the kids were small, they were my priority. Now they're all grown up. Now my wife at home needs to be my priority. And, you know, I stay clean for me. I work the steps for me, but I do it so I can be a better person for the people around me, you know. And that's really the balance that I seek. So I don't know. I guess that's all I've got. Jeff, if you want to. Thank you.
I'm an addict. My name's Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hello, family. So I just did, like, in the spirit of balance, I just planned a little bit of stuff out, and I didn't plan out too much, but I did do my wardrobe with my Ying Yang shirt, and there is a I pulled out my old school just for today. I love the app, and that's what I always use nowadays, but so there's a few things I can't do with the app like I can with the old book, and that doesn't want to stay in place. And that's look up things, and it's real handy. You know, it's some of the lessons that I learned early in recovery is that there's an index in the back of this book, and I can look up words like balance, and I can, it'll direct me to the readings that are on that. And even without that, I know there's one reading in here on balance that always sticks out in my mind when I think about balance, and that is the one about the scales. And I'm not going to read that one, but it's May 11th, Balancing the Scales, and it talks about basically balancing our recovery and our work life and our family life and all those things. And, you know, how when we start to feel out of balance, you know, we move things around. And, you know, I kind of like to think of that as like a physical balance in my life. And I've been, you know, I've been doing that the majority of my recovery. In fact, you know, balance is one of the many skills that I've been learning all throughout my recovery and growing. And, you know, recently my challenges in this area is, you know, I took a bunch of vacations in July, and while I was out on vacations, I interviewed for a different job at work, and I came back and I got jumped into this different job, and it gives me an opportunity to work more hours, and they want me to work so many, you know, I have to work so many, and they want me to work so many, and then I can work on top of that and weekends and stuff like that. And so I had to do a lot of readjusting of my time to figure out where I was comfortable with work and with, you know, going to meetings and doing service work and spending time with family and everything else that's going on in my life. And I've, you know, been able to find a pretty reasonable balance with that. But that's, you know, like I say, I consider that to be the physical balance. And the other reading that I am going to read to you that's in here is on September 16th, because I thought too, you know, I'm going to stand up here and talk about anything really, and if it's going to be about balance, I want to balance it out, because like everything I know comes from the literature and what I've heard from other people. And I can stand up here and talk, and I could be wrong. In fact, I'm often wrong. And so I want to balance out what I have to say with some of what's written in our literature. Because I've, you know, there is times and stuff that I disagree with some of the stuff in the literature. But in general, I really do like the literature of Narcotics Anonymous. But anyways, I'll digress and just read this to you. Emotional balance is one of the first results of meditation, and our experience bears this out. Basic text, page 47. Though each of us defines emotional balance a little differently, all of us must find it. Emotional balance can mean finding and maintaining a positive outlook on life, regardless of what may be happening around us. To some, it might mean an understanding of our emotions that allows us to respond, not react, to our feelings. It can mean that we experience our feelings as intensely as we can while also moderating their excessive expression. Emotional balance comes with practice and prayer and meditation. We get quiet and share our thoughts and hopes and concerns with the God of our understanding. When we listen for guidance, awaiting the power on that direction. Eventually, our skills in maintaining near balance get better, and the wild up and down emotional swings we used to experience begin to settle. We develop an ability to let others feel their feelings. We have no need to judge them, and we fully embrace our own personal range of emotions. Just for today, through regular prayer and meditation, I will discover that what emotional balance means to me. The first sponsor that I got early on in my recovery, when I was talking with him early on, and he told me, he said, the point of this program isn't to be happy. It's not to feel good. And I almost like said, well, that's it, and walked away right there. You know, because what does everyone want? Everyone wants to be happy. And I didn't really understand what he meant when he said that at the time. You know, what we really work for in this program is serenity and peace of mind. You know, it's and that's the emotional balance that I think that this reading is talking about. It seems to me to be a little bit harder to find than just balancing, you know, my work and my social life and all that. And the reading suggests that, you know, we find it through prayer and meditation. And that's definitely where I've found it, you know, because I guess my first lesson that I really learned was in learning not to label things good and bad and not labeling my feelings good and bad. And it's also when I came to, you know, and when I first came in, it seemed like there was a saying that I heard all around the rooms, and I don't seem to hear it as much anymore, and that's don't believe everything that you think. And when I learned not to believe all my thoughts and not to associate with all of my thoughts, when I learned to be the observer of them and not judge them, and it helped me, you know, find that emotional balance. And it's a daily thing of meditation. I meditate every day, and that for me keeps the even keel of my emotional balance. And that's all I really have to say, I believe, on balance. And so we'll open it up to anyone else because, of course, with balance, I will now sit down and learn something. So.
I'm Skylar, and I'm an addict. So balance is a tricky one. With balance, you expect everything to kind of go smooth. Like, you got an equal balance of pain in your life, good in life, happy things in life, fun things in life. But it doesn't really work out that way. And so the way I get balance in my life is I'm spontaneous. When I get overwhelmed, you have a break at work. You can go out and drive, turn on some music. Totally wasn't expecting to come up here, so. Balance. It's a hard thing to accept everybody else when you are trying to balance your life. You gotta live life on other people's terms on the same time, and that's where balance gets hectic, at least for me. and trying to live life on life's terms with other people in your life is amazing if you let it be. But you got to learn to separate the difference between what your goals are and being able to differentiate between the two people. So I guess I've been struggling with it a lot. I've been feeling overwhelmed almost every day, doing too much. And with so I got to stop planning and start going with it and accepting things the way they're supposed to be. And with that, balance will come. I'm sorry, kind of panicking now. Didn't expect it. So I'm gonna relate to what you had to say because it really did hit me. I live with my grandma, and her health is going really down, and her cognitive thinking is going really back, and trying to figure that out, that it's not her, that it's not me, and to accept things on where they are, and to still try to be there for her is extremely hard when it's nobody's choice that she doesn't know. Then trying to get work on top of it, go to school on top of it, stay in NA and do everything all at once. Yeah, it's hectic, but you can do it if you learn acceptance. I'm totally spacing now that I'm up here. I can't do it anymore.
Am I an addict? Balance. Right now, my bank account balance is zero. So that's good, right? When I was in active using, I didn't have no balance at all. It's all just getting high, getting, doing criminal activities, spending my nights out in cheap motels, just out on the streets, out in the garage, whatever. And my family was just at home by themselves. They hardly see me, so that's definitely not a balance in my life. But now that I'm clean now, I didn't have to worry. I didn't have drugs not part of my balance right now. Now I got worried about the responsibilities, getting jobs, staying clean. Make sure I attend my meetings and stuff like that. And I think, I don't think there's no such thing as doing too much meetings, right? So I think the balance is going pretty good. And I think to me, balance is just, it's a good way to see where you're at with your life and your with your life, and I mean it's a healthy way to balance everything. Don't overwork yourself. That's one way I think about it. I mean, I don't have much balance. When I was using, I was like 130 pounds. Now I'm like overweight. So. I don't have much balance there either, but I don't know. Balance is hard. It's a hard thing. It's a hard part of life, but I guess we just got to figure out the best way to do it, and the best it's a healthy way. You got to look at everything, like emotionally, mentally, physically. I don't think it's too good to be. I don't think it's good to be too happy. You might do something crazy if you're too happy. So you gotta have a little sadness here, a little happiness there, a little joy here. You know, I think I was learning how to balance myself right now. That, you know, because I've been using it for 20 years, and that's a long time, like being out of balance. I mean, not even think of any balance when I was using. But now, now that I'm sober for a while now, not much, but 6 months. It's been a long time. And, yeah, right. I got responsibilities now. I gotta do my own laundries. I gotta do dishes. Who does that, right? I thought it was always the girls that would do it. I thought that was the balance right there, right? The girls do all the dishes and chores, and we do all the heavy work. That's what I thought the balance was, right? But I don't know. To me, balance is it's hard. It's hard to balance. But I think that's what. But we all need balance in our life, you know, if we're gonna make it through. And I try not to get overwhelmed with stuff. I try to keep a little balance here and there. You know, I'm still learning. So yeah, I'm still learning about responsibilities and how to balance myself and my sobriety. So I'm just glad to be here. I'm grateful to be here, and thanks for letting me share that.
I'm an addict named Randy.
Randy.
Born in active addiction, I had no idea what the hell balance was. Balance was nothing, everything in excess. I have the disease of more. Not just drugs and alcohol, everything. Everything in life, business, family. You name it, Randy could do it to extreme that he'd kill himself. How many people would have 13 foreign exchange students while your kids are in high school? They would automatically call my house, make sure they didn't talk to my wife, they talked to me. Because Randy would always say, yeah, we can have another one. We can take another one. I was like a tire. I was like a tire that needed some weights in other direction. I always thought adding more weights would get that tire balanced. It would get my life balanced if I kept adding more. No, eventually I found out it was less. It was less. Another prime example about balance. I have something called Guillain-Barré syndrome. You hear about that. I wear braces today. I spent a year in the hospital in the nursing home. When I got out, I had a year of therapy. And they gave me this nice certificate that said, I can go to the Y. I can go to the Y real cheap. And you know, I can go to the Y, okay. And I'm not going to therapy as much. And then you're going to ask, Randy, how you feel today? Oh God, I feel sore. Oh God, I feel sore. Well, Randy, are you going to the Y? Well, yeah, I'm going to the Y. Well, how often are you going? Well, every day. Well, how long do you go? Oh, 5-6 hours. I can do anything to kill myself, not just drugs and alcohol. And when I first came here, what it was like, what had happened, what it is now, I can look back and see what it was. What happened? Balance for me is I had to go and find a few spiritual fitness. That's the whole thing. The physical part was done. But I had to find a spiritual fitness. And eventually, as that spiritual fitness grew inside of me by coming to these meetings, talking to people, having a sponsor, doing all these things these people told me to do. God, I hated some of those people. God, I hated a few of them. Especially a couple of those old-timers. Jesus Christ. Pull your head out of your ass. They didn't tell me that. They were mean to me. But they helped me find my balance. Now, today, I have a few 24 hours. Not as many as you. I'm 59 years old. I didn't enter recovery until I was after 50. And it took me 2.5 years of struggle to get that first year of sobriety. Because I thought I could do this all on my own. a part of the balance. Part of the balance, it's not just family, and it's not just business, and it's not just recovery. That was the first part of the balance. That slowly by slowly, I actually had to do some work. You know, all the thinking in the world will not change my behaviors. I had to change my behaviors to change my thinking. When people told me that, I thought, I don't come up with any of this shit on my own, just so you know that. I listen to people. I had to change my behaviors. So I had to first change my behaviors to work on those three in my balance. Then after that, step three, I had to realize I had a higher power. That if I got out of the way, and let things just happen, things could turn out even better than I planned. Boy, I should document and journal that. I'm not good at doing that. I don't want to admit that my power is in control. But today I realize that is the truth. That is the absolute truth. What people told me in these rooms is the truth. Today my balance finds itself. Long as I stay straight and clean no matter what. They told me that early on. Stay straight and clean no matter what. If your ass is falling off, go to a meeting that night. We'll help you put your ass back on. And then now the balance finds its own. There's sometimes it's more toward recovery. And then there's times it's almost all family. Then there's times it goes to business. But the whole secret of this, I never feel overwhelmed anymore. I probably have more going on right now in my life than I've ever had going on. But most days I get up and say, well, I wonder what I'm going to do today. I didn't plan on coming here, not till tonight for the speaker. And a friend calls me. He says, hey, Randy, you maybe want to go early? I could think of a bunch of excuses not to come early. But we did. We got here before noon. I got a couple more friends from Marshall coming shortly after now. And again, I didn't have to do anything. I just had to let it happen. And that's a lot of my story of balance right now, is letting things happen. Do not obsess. And once I quit obsessing, my life got a hell of a lot better. A lot better. Better than I thought it would ever be. And like I always close out, I want to thank each and every one of you for being here today, because you're all part of my recovery. And recovery isn't putting a plug in the jug. It's not quitting using drugs. It's learning how to live a life. And I tell you, at 50 years old, I couldn't figure out how to live a life on my own. And you all helped me with that. With that, I pass.
Bear with me, I'm probably going to throw up. Hey, I'm Talia, I'm an addict. It's good to see you all here. I'm really grateful to be here. I put some notes in here. So I guess I could say I practiced balancing even in my active addiction, a little bit of this to go down, balance, you know. But one of the most useful things that I learned when I was in rehab for I don't know how many times, probably my third time. So it's you're on a plane, right? And you need to use those air masks or whatever. And you have your baby in your arms. And your first instinct would be to put that mask on that baby and just keep it on that baby. And I was obviously I want to save that baby. I love her. Whoever this baby was. They were okay, but what about you? And I was whatever. I just want my baby to be okay. It's you got to go between. You have to take care of yourself. You have to put that mask on yourself and take care of yourself and then give it to the baby. And I still use that to this day because I feel like I pour so much into something that it's extremely hard to find that balance, whether I work too much or I'm not doing enough for my recovery. It's extremely hard to find that balance. But Or two, it's kind of funny. I'll be wow, shit's going way too good. I got to throw a wrench in this, and I'll self-sabotage something. I got to find that balance. I was used to that chaos for so long that when things were peaceful, I was this is fucked up. And it was scary to me. I knew nothing but chaos. And finally, things in my life are pretty calm, and I've learned a lot along the way. And I show up to meetings, and I have a lot of good people in my life, and I'm so grateful for every single one of these people at this convention, because without us being here, there wouldn't be this service. Lately, I've been spending time with God every single morning, because if I put that, as soon as I open my eyes, I'm like, what a blessing it is to be here. And it's as simple as that for me. I remain extremely grateful of trying to find this balance in my life. You know, it's like between work, I work two jobs, I have two kids, much like a lot of people, and like grieving and recovery, it's such a hard thing to do, but remaining grateful for me is like really the forefront of what keeps me going. My eyes work, my ears work, my legs work. I'm grateful to be here.
So I'm Shane, and I'm an alcoholic, but I have a very addictive personality, as we all do. So I went to prison for 3 years, and while I was in prison, I realized that I definitely wasn't in control of my life. But being in prison, I also realized, you know, I had a house, I had a car, and everything else, and none of that mattered. You know, being in balance means that you got to be okay with yourself first, because if you're not in balance with yourself, how can you be in balance with your family? How can you be in balance with those around you? How can you be in balance with anything? And I found that out really quick. You know, being in prison, I actually want to go back. Why? Because I had everything done for me. I didn't have to do laundry, didn't have to pay bills, didn't have to do dishes. But in my life, I had to do that every day, and I found myself doing things for other people, not myself. In this program, and in any program I've ever been in, I was the constant. And if I didn't do the work, who was going to do it for me? But then I found myself doing work for other people, but not myself. That's not healthy. I had my family taken away from me. I had my car. I had my business. I had my house. And only one thing came out of it. A realization that none of that shit mattered. I found something that's unseen, like most of us do. It's called spirituality. I believe in the unseen. Now that I believe in the unseen, I have a balance with my higher power. My higher power as I know him or her or whatever it may be. And to me, that's more appealing than anything, because it can be who I want it to be, not who somebody tells me who it is. But once I got my balance with my higher power, I understood that my higher power watches me all the time. My higher power knows what I'm doing at any given moment. So I had to start giving up a lot of stuff. Whether it be drinking, drugs, alcohol, pornography, sugar, meat, whatever it was that was ailing me, I had to become healthy. At one point in my life, I was 500 pounds. But being 500 pounds, I was uncomfortable. Nobody was going to take that weight off for me. I had to start eating healthy. I had to start going to the gym. But in doing that, those around me didn't understand, because they don't understand addiction. I go to a lot of meetings, and they revolve around AA. But then I started noticing that being an AA, they started kicking out people that had addiction. And I'm like, wait a minute, addiction is addiction. I don't care what it is. As long as you have a willingness, you're welcome here. These programs are based about unity. Unified in what? Well, our experiences. I experienced this. Well, how did I become healthy? I had to put in the work. If you're not willing to put in the work, you're not going to change. And that's what it's about. It's about change. How do I become healthy? And then once I become healthy, then my balance is good. in my relationships. It's good with my work. You know, I do the shit jobs that nobody else wants to do, but I don't want to be seen doing it. So when I got a job, when I got out of prison, I was making shit money at first. But then, because I did the shit jobs, I was noticed and I got a raise right away. Then I got a company vehicle. Then I got my gas paid for me because I put in the initiative. But I don't go, look at me, I'm doing the shit job. Because the shit job is giving shit up. That's the hardest part. Besides walking in these doors and admitting, hey, my name's Shane and I have a fucking problem. But I need to get healthy. So by doing that, by lifting that burden, we have to share our stories. And realize I'm not the only one. You're not the only one. So balance to me is not worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow, because I can only live in today. I can only change myself today. Yesterday is gone, so who I was yesterday is not who I am now. Who I was sitting back there 2 minutes ago is not who I was 2 minutes ago. I'm changing. I'm constantly changing. I'm realizing that when I don't feel good, I have to change something. What do I have to change? Well, I ate bread, and bread didn't make me feel good. So what? I got to stop eating bread. You know, these drugs and alcohol are just an excuse of something that we can't deal with on a daily basis. Ourselves. That's the hardest thing. We're not okay with ourselves. Because somebody said we're not good enough. Or we're not making enough money. Or we don't have that car that the neighbor has. We don't have that expensive house. I've learned living simple is the easiest way. It's the easiest way to have balance. But the problem is, if you're living with somebody or you have a relationship with somebody that doesn't understand that balance, you're all out of whack. Because I've been to 3 different meetings today. One was boundaries. If you don't set your boundaries correctly, you're not going to have balance. You're not able to say no. You're not going to have balance, because you're just going to say, well, something needs to be done today at work. Can you come in? Oh, sure, yeah. No, I'm busy. And pretty soon, you know, those phone calls stop. You know, that old behavior goes away. You know, that's God's doing. That's not my doing. Once you start saying no to doing bad things, good things happen. You know, I don't recommend going to prison, but I recommend looking at your lives as an individual. Because I can't change you. You can't change me. But you can change you. You can decide not to go to McDonald's. You can decide not to do that drug. You can decide to use your well-being to read more healthier things. There's no excuse anymore. We have phones that have apps on it that every day you can get something to make you feel better. But you have to do the work. Balance is in you. It's possible. I'm happy every day. I'm grateful every day. And now I find myself trying to make amends to my children because I taught them wrong. Because I taught them how to work. Now they're workaholics. Gotta have balance. Otherwise it doesn't work. But you gotta have a willingness to want to change too. You gotta have a willingness to understand your emotions. And with that, I'll pass.
Hey everybody, my name is John Manatic. Yeah, I know there's a few people in here who know me, and you might be surprised to hear that balance is important to me. I mean, I know I've definitely, my actions have not, I also have a condition which affects my mood, and like I take medication for it, and I've been doing my best to manage that condition in addition to staying clean. And the reason I say balance is important to me, I mean, I'm definitely no expert at it, is that this condition that I have, I mean, you might guess what it is, but it goes from, like, it can go, if it's unmanaged, it can go from, like, mania, like, just extreme, like, euphoric highs to depression, to severe lows. And I've experienced both those extremes. And so balance to me means like staying somewhere in the middle, not like overly, like really happy and also not depressed. I mean, so one lesson that I've learned over the past however long it's been since I got the diagnosis is that finding and maintaining a healthy level of activity keeps me from getting depressed. So if I have the ways and means to do something that comes to mind, I just do it. Because I know that it'll keep, like, life in and of itself is depressing. There's some aspects about life that are depressing. And so if I can take my mind off of, with activity, if I can take my mind off of what's so depressing about life, then I won't feel depressed. I mean, it took quite a long time for me to learn that. I would say that at this point in my life and my recovery, I've got a pretty good handle on this condition. I'm working with a doctor, hopefully to, you know, reduce, and I know this might be an outside issue for a lot of you, but I know it's an inside issue for some of you. So I've been working with a doctor to, you know, she's I kind of view her as part of my team, almost like a sponsor. Because I mean, she prescribes a medication, I take it, it's none of it's narcotic. It's only a few meds. I don't even feel drugged anymore. I mean, there were definitely some times when some of the shit they put on you or on me was just put me in like a zombie-like state. But one more thing I want to say about medication is like when I first got into recovery, I thought that the medication I took was one of those mind and altering substances, and I figured, well, okay, well, I gotta quit taking my meds and just work the steps. And so I did that, and within 2 weeks I was back in the hospital. So now, and I learned that was the last time I was in the hospital. It's been over 9 years. And what am I trying to say? I got ADHD too, so like I get sidetracked real easily. Even if it's, you know, whatever, some whatever, I can suddenly just take a breath and try to remind myself what I was trying to say. I don't know. I don't want to lose any of your I don't know, maybe that, maybe, I'm getting, I guess I, that's all I wanted to say. I'll probably think of it later, but it's just not coming to me. So thanks for letting me share.
Hi, I'm Jason. I
About 15, 20 years ago, I had been about the same weight that I am right now. And I got onto a training program and I decided I was going to do a triathlon, an international one now, like an Ironman, just, you know, getting realistic. And I worked so hard, I punished myself with training and just kicked my own ass for like a year. Dropped over 100 pounds, did two races to work up to it, two smaller ones that were just sprints. And if anybody lives around here, there's a state park to the south of us called Devil's Lake, which is just hills. Just beautiful park, but just hills. It's just brutal place to do a race. And I went through, made my goal, finished it, and within probably 6 to 9 months, I had put back probably 50 plus pounds, if not more, of what I had, 100 plus I had lost. And I was puzzled why I had gone out of balance, because I felt like I had really gotten my health in balance. And I couldn't figure it out for a long time, but I learned something about our brains in regards to how we think of what normal should be and how important that is to how we behave. And basically, we have a setting in our brain for what normal is. And that setting is based upon what we think of as our identity. So me growing up, I've always been husky. And so I was always the fat kid. And what I learned after going into this a bit was that our brains are kind of like a thermostat. If we start doing poorly in an area, then our brain kind of kicks in and says, oh, you got to kind of lift this up. You're not at the standard you should be at. And if you're doing too good compared to the standard of your identity, your brain is going, hey, this isn't consistent with you. You are going to do what is consistent with your identity. And so my identity being the fat kid was that for me to be healthy and happy and as fit in my life as I've ever been wasn't consistent with my identity. And so I put the weight back on again, got super depressed and all that fun stuff that goes along with it. And now as I'm going along, I'm understanding again that part of this, call it addiction, is driven by the fact that I'm have a poor identity. That the way I think about myself, the way I define myself, is not helpful or is not supportive of my life. And so I work now on changing that identity so that when I do reach those states, my body and my mind are getting in alignment to say, oh, hey, dude, you know, healthy is okay over here. It's okay for you to be happy. It's okay for you to be healthy because you're not the fat kid. Now you're Jay the athlete, or you're Jay the worker, or whatever the new identity is that you want to set for yourself. And that definitely makes a big difference in the intensity of the addiction to be in alignment with it, because your brain is now saying, oh, okay, I'm in alignment here with who you should be. And so just a quick thing that I do maybe for helping people with balance is every once in a while I'll sit down and just draw a circle on a paper. And I will write out health, wealth, family, marriage, a couple other pies. And just honestly, it's much like doing the inventory, is to sit and say, how am I doing here? And to give yourself a dispassionate look at your way and see, okay, this is the spot where I'm sabotaging or I'm not doing where I would like to be, and to be able to check in on that so that you can say, have a forced way to you know, to do this periodically so you check in on yourself and the places in your life, whatever your pies are in your life that you are most concerned with, that you are making sure that you're positively checking in on those. So with that, I'll pass.
Last chance, anybody else? Okay, can someone read the We Do Recover then, please?